Hey everyone, welcome. Happy Mother's Day. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for Church Online. And we're glad to have you today. We're going to have a wonderful time. Good to have my wife with me. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. And happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. We were hoping that we would be able to be back in church together this Mother's Day, but it just didn't work out. But hopefully, really soon, we'll be.
Yes, we're working on all of our plans, and it's kind of hard to know what to plan because from week to week, things change with different restrictions and all of that. But we're getting closer, and we're wanting to do whatever we can to be safe, but also to start physical services again. And along with that, we will be continuing our live stream services so that those of you that are not comfortable yet coming back in a physical sense can still catch the service from home. Mm-hmm. And so we'll continue that. We'll keep you posted on all of this. It could be that this next Sunday, not today, of course, but next Sunday, we're going to have a drive-in service for those that would like to come. We'll have to be parked out in every other parking space and all that. We'll give you the details, but we're working on that. So we'll see if that comes past. That'll be exciting. That'll be fun. So
really exciting.
Amen. Well, we're going to, in just a few moments, have a time of worship, and then I'll be preaching. But I wanted Sister McCoy to come today and just talk to us a little bit about Mother's Day and greet us. And we're thankful. She is a great mom and a great wife and the first lady of our church. So I want to turn it to her right now.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. And as we've said, and you know, it's Mother's Day. And I was just thinking about, you know, what it is to be a mother and the great responsibility that comes with being a mother. And you know, all of these things start going through my brain, and it's hard to write down everything that I can think of, but I found a poem and I want to read it to you. And what is a mother? So you can ask yourself, you know, what, when you think of that question, what is a mother, what things come to your mind? So this is what this poem says. It says, "A mother is someone to shelter and guide us, to love us whatever we do, with a warm understanding and infinite patience and wonderful gentleness too. How often a mother means swift reassurance in soothing our small child's fears. How tenderly mothers watch over their children and treasure them all through the years. The heart of a mother is full of forgiveness for any mistake, big or small, and generous always in helping her family, whose needs she has placed above all."
Mm. That's good.
"A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all of our cares go away. Mm-hmm. She can brighten a home with the sound of her laughter and make life delightful each day." And, you know, mothers do that. You know, mm-hmm. when I was younger, I, of course, had a mother, and she was amazing. She was an amazing mother. But when I was younger, I took her for granted. I really did. I don't know if it was took her for granted as much as I really didn't understand all the things that she would do for us. And I sit back and I think of them all now, and it's just, there was so much, you know, that our mothers did. And you know what? Even if your mother wasn't a perfect mother, I'm sure you can think of some things that she did for you that, you know, that helped you along the way. And the truth is, none of us are perfect mothers, but I know that we all strive to be. So I just want to encourage every mother today, just keep doing your best, because that's really all that we can do. You know, one of my best friends told me, I was mothering my children one day, and you know, at times I get overwhelmed and I think, my goodness, am I doing a good job, or what have I done wrong? And I think that because it's just like some days it gets bad sometimes. And I was talking to her, and she said, "Denise," she said, "I pray, when I pray for my kids," she said, "I pray God make up the difference, because we can't do it all, but He can do it all. He can, and He knows where we're weak. And you know, the Bible says where we're weak, when we're weak, He is made strong." And sometimes when you're a mother, you do feel like you have made mistakes and that you're weak, but you know, you can pray, God make up the difference. And I do, and the Lord has helped me so much. That was just some very wise words that she told me. And I pray it all the time, because I do need Him to make up the difference. None of us are perfect, but we try our best. And I just want to encourage every mother out there not to give up, to keep trying your best because your kids love you. You might not be a perfect mom, but you're perfect for them. They love you and they would be so lost without you.
Amen.
And so, you know, we can get help from the Lord because He really is our help. None of us could do it on our own. But if you ask Him to make up the difference, He will make up the difference for you. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, again, happy Mother's Day. And I hope that y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day. And I hope your kids get you a lot of good stuff, like massage and going out to eat, gift cards, and maybe a gift certificate to TJ Maxx. I mean, just, you know, anyway.
Well, that was good. We appreciate that. And I thought it'd be neat to kind of do a little interview and get a couple of answers to a couple of questions here about Mother's Day. So you've already mentioned some of this, but tell us, what is the best thing about being a mother? Tell us something that comes to your mind, the best thing about being a mother.
Oh, I think the best thing, one of the best things about being a mother is the unconditional love. You know, you love people, you love your spouse, I love you, but when you love your kids, it's like there's nothing that could ever stop you from loving them.
Right.
There's nothing. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do, you will never stop loving them. And that's a feeling that, you know, I never felt before I had kids. Mm-hmm. I never knew that feeling before. But then I always kind of think about the way that God loves us. And I feel like it's the same as a woman loves her children. I mean, it's unconditional. It doesn't matter what we do. He still loves us. And I think that that's one of the best things about being a mom is the unconditional love that you feel.
Awesome. What's the hardest thing, or what's one of the hardest things about being a mother?
Oh, well, I would say, would have said when they were younger, it would be not getting enough sleep. But now they're getting older. You know, we have Brooklyn, she's 21. Mm. And then Colt, he's 12. And then we have Daniel that's 15 and Lauren that's 20. And the older that they get, the less they need you, you know?
Aww.
And I think that one day they're not going to need me as much as they needed me, as they need me now. And they certainly don't need me now as much as they needed me when they were a baby.
They do.
But I think that's one of the hardest things, to know that, you know, it's going to change and they're not going to need you or be dependent on you. Because, you know, it's a joy to be able to help your kids and think that they need you, I guess.
So, speaking of a joy, what brings you joy as a mother? What brings you joy as a mother?
Okay, what brings me joy? So, I know we all know the scripture. I have no greater joy than to know that go back for that one. Can we back up? What is that scripture?
So, we'll go back and I'll ask that question again.
Okay, that's good. Hold on. I didn't know. I thought you were going to go in order.
I did.
No, looking back, your mom... I didn't see that one. Okay, all right. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the church. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, look at the camera. That's great. That's great. Okay, speaking of joy, what brings you joy as a mother?
Well, you know, I feel as a Christian mom, you know, because, I mean, I don't know. I used to not be a Christian. I am now, so I think maybe I might have thought different if I wasn't in the church. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But right now, the thing that brings me the most joy, I think we could all probably think of that scripture in John 3. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
Amen.
And there is no greater joy than that. I mean, I think of the places that I used to be before I was in the church and the things that I used to do. And it really makes me kind of cringe. And to know that because we have raised our children in the truth and because we've raised them in the church, they don't have to experience those things. That they're sheltered, thank God, and they're protected. And so that would be the greatest joy I have, is to know that my children walk in the truth.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. All right. Now here's one. Okay. Of course, your mother attends our church here, but hopefully she's listening.
Hi, Mom.
Watching.
Love you.
Looking back at your mother raising you, is there anything that you want to thank her for doing, or something maybe that you took for granted at that time, but you looking back want to thank her for something?
Well, I think one thing I want to thank her for is being able to make it through my childhood with me without me getting killed. I was a big tomboy, and my mom, I mean, I think if I had a kid like me, I don't know what. I was very active. But I think that one thing I would like to thank her for would be to not let me do everything I wanted to do. I remember this certain thing that comes to my mind. I was 14, and they were having a big party down at somebody's grandma's house. And I wanted to go so bad because everybody was going. Right. Everybody was getting to go. Why couldn't I go, right? So I go in and talk to my mom, and I'm 14. And everybody's there from like 14 to like 18, okay, mm-hmm. at this party. And I'm trying to convince her to let me go to this party. And she won't let me go. Thank you, Mom. But she said, Denise, you're not going. And I remember saying, well, I'm going to tell you this. When I have a 14-year-old, I'm letting them go to a party when they ask. And she's like, okay, Denise. She's like, come in here. So she wrote on a piece of paper, when Denise's kids are 14 years old, she's going to let them go to a party. And she got me to sign it. And I signed it. But luckily, we had hurricanes come through, and it washed the paperwork away.
Oh. So, luckily.
So I'm so thankful for her, you know, being, trying to protect me. And,
right.
And she, you know, another thing that I'm very thankful for is that she always taught me to love people, no matter what background, mm-hmm. what race that they were. It didn't matter. I mean, we didn't see any of that. We didn't see if you were rich or you were poor, what color your skin was. She mm-hmm. was kind to everybody. She's always doing stuff for mm-hmm. people. And she taught me a lot of good lessons. I mean, she taught me how to be very respectful to people and mm-hmm. and to be kind to people, no matter who they were. And I think that, you know, that's a good lesson, to be kind.
Right.
Anyway, there's a lot. I could go on.
What advice do you have maybe for young mothers today? Do you have any advice for young mothers? Which, of course, you're still a young mother.
Yeah.
But those that are brand new young mothers.
Well, my grandma told me you don't get old till you're 80.
Oh.
So I guess maybe that could mean I'm young till I'm 80. I don't know. But so if I had some advice to young mothers, and Michaela pops into my mind, and Sister Sapphire, yes. they pop into my mind right away. But what I would have advice that I would give to young mothers is to try to slow down and cherish every minute.
That's good.
Because it goes by so fast. I always say, I wish I had a time machine. Of course, we know that's not going to ever happen. But I always say, I wish I had a time machine so I can just get in it and go back, not to change anything, but just to go pick up the baby out of their baby bed and just sit and rock them, because it goes so fast. And people tell you it goes so fast, but you really don't understand it until you've gone through it.
Right.
And so just slow down. Just slow down and try to take in every moment. Because, like I said, it goes so fast. They're not little long at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
I know that we have some grandmothers out there today, and God bless all of you. But tell me something that you remember about your grandmother or grandmothers.
Okay. So my grandmother on my mother's side, she passed away when I was probably 6 or 7, and she was so precious. I don't remember being able to get to spend a whole lot of time with her. But my dad's mom didn't pass away. She's passed away now, but it was later on in life. And she was, oh my goodness, she was such a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. But I really, sometimes she would watch me when I was little. And I really have a newfound respect for her when I think about her having to watch me as a child, because I was something else. She took me to a department store one time, and I was probably 5. And they had the little round racks that they hung the clothes on. Now they're straight racks, but they used to be round.
Okay.
Well, I got away from her somehow, and I hid up inside of those round racks. And she couldn't find me, and I would see her run back
forth.
And then then she had some more, you know, people with her, like some people that worked in the department stores. They were looking for me, screaming my name. Finally, they found me. I came out, and anyway, she's really, really upset with me. But she always showed so much love and compassion to us grandchildren. I mean, she loved us just like we were hers. And she was one of the sweetest, kindest ladies I've ever met in my life. She was so, so precious. always saw the good in everyone, and she left such a legacy. She really did. And anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing her again one day.
Amen. So all you grandmothers out there, we love you, and we appreciate you today too.
Yes.
Any final words for mothers, or just anything else you want to say about Mother's Day today?
Well, one thing I would like to say is, mothers, bring your kids to church. I mean, that is the most important thing that you could ever do for them. You know, we've got to teach them about God. Because if we don't teach them about God, the world's going to teach them about the world. Right. And we really don't want them to know those kind of things. Bring them to church. Show them a love for the church. Because there's nothing more important than to have a love for God's people and a love for God and a love for God's word. And you learn so much at church. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Brooklyn and Lauren were small, I was a single mom with them. And I did not want them to have the kind of life that I had. And I remember I wasn't doing good, but I would bring them to church. And then the Lord, he saved me and he delivered me. But I was determined to bring them because I wanted them to be surrounded by the people of God.
Yes.
And that's, I think, one of the most important things that you can do is bring them to church and teach them about God.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's it.
Well, thank you. We enjoyed that, and hope you enjoyed hearing from our First Lady. We love and appreciate her, and she definitely brings such life and beauty to our church. And I'm thankful for her. She's a wonderful mom to my kids, and as well as wife-to-be, of course. But happy Mother's Day to everyone. Yes. We're so glad that you're here. We're going to go into a time of worship right now. I encourage you right where you're at, just lift up the Lord, lift your hands, clap, sing along with us. We're going to have a wonderful time. And we'll be going to the word of the Lord and preaching in just a few moments. But let's have a great time of worship right now. God bless you and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. What a blessing to worship him. Aren't you thankful and grateful that the worship goes up and God inhabits the praises of his people? He touches our hearts and lives. Amen. We're not serving a God that's just made of wood or stone or metal. We're not serving a God who's not alive, but he is alive and well, and he receives our worship, and he touches us and blesses us in such a special way. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that time of worship. And we're excited about the word of God today. We're going to be turning to Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. Amen. So thankful for this Mother's Day, and I hope you're having a great celebration for wherever you are. If you're not with your mother, make sure you call her, tell her how much she means to you. If your mother has already passed away, of course, we feel with you today, and I know that you are enjoying some special memories of your mother, and I'm thankful for this time to celebrate all of our mothers and grandmothers. And I tell you, it's a special thing. Nobody would be here without our mother. So God bless you on this Mother's Day. We're going to look at the word of the Lord today, Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Amen. So there was a great famine. There was a great famine, and heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months. And then here we see this statement, but unto none of these widows in the land was Elias sent, save unto a certain woman that was a widow. Today, I want to choose a title in the form of a question. And it's a question that we might all ask when the Lord reaches for our life, when God touches us, when his mercy and his grace stretch to meet us in our place of worldly trouble. Here's the question that we could all ask the Lord in response to his love reaching for us. We could all ask this. And here's our title. Who, me? Who? Me? Amen. When we think of the goodness of Jesus, and all that he has done for us. As that old song declares, our soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. We serve a good God today. He is faithful and he is just. He is merciful. He is steadfast and never changing. He's always right on time. Amen. God is always doing what is good for us, what is right for us. He's our Savior and he's our friend. He's our master. He's our reason for living. Oh, we serve a good God. And when we get to thinking of his goodness, when we get to thinking of how many times he has blessed us and provided for us and all the times that he's come through for us, doors opening when we had no other option and miracles taking place when we did not expect them. Comfort in the times of tragedy and loss. Joy in the morning when weeping had endured for the night. Oh, when we think of the goodness of the Lord, we would have a hard time trying to list all of his many blessings. And then how much more has God done for us that we didn't even realize? He protected us when we didn't even know we were in danger. He supernaturally provided for us. And sometimes we think it's just because we were so smart or so good or so great in ourselves. But it was God making a way for us. Oh, there's something about living for God. And he's reached way down to pick us up and to save us and bless us and establish us. I tell you, we all had the feeling, I think, today that we could say he's been better to me than to anybody else. Amen. Oh, why me, Lord? Why did you choose to bless my life? Why did you choose to be so good to me? Why did you choose to save me? Why my life? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I tell you today, he's a good God, and we owe everything to him. Praise the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the word of the Lord coming to Elijah. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so Elijah goes to Zarephath, and when he comes to the gate of the city, he finds a woman there, and she was a widow, and she was there gathering sticks. He calls to her and asks her for a drink of water and for a little bread to eat. And she tells him, well, I have not a cake, but just a handful of meal in a barrel and just a little oil in a cruse. And she said that I was just now gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal so that then my son and I may die. But that's not what God had in store for her. And Elijah said to her, he said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first, and then one for you and for your son. And for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she did just as he told her. And the Bible says that she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of flour did not run out, and the jar of oil, it never went empty. Think with me today of this widow woman, how surprised she must have been. Why was she selected? Were there not other widows in Israel who needed help? Of course there were. And as Elijah comes to the city gate and he speaks to this woman, no doubt her response was probably the same as ours might be. She looked around to see who he was talking to and said, who, me? Who, me? Are you speaking to me? From this story of a special mother in the city of Zarephath, thousands of years ago, I've come to preach to you on this Mother's Day 2020 that you may wonder why the goodness of God is reaching for you. After all, you don't feel that you're anything special. And there's others who have made, they may be more deserving. And others have been more faithful than you have. Or others may have more talent. There's others who surely they would be first in line. But whether you're a mother today, or a father, or a young person, or an elder, I've come to tell you today on this special day, as God's presence reaches to you, He reaches with a great blessing to your life. Amen. Your first response might be exactly the same. Who, me? Who, me? Are you talking to me? Surely there's someone else that is more deserving of me. But I want to tell you, God is reaching for people today to bless them and to minister to them. And the presence of God wants to do something great in our hearts today. I don't know all the reasons why He selected you, but God knows. He sees something within you. He knows something that He is trying to do. We may not ever understand in this life why He chose us. He did not have to. He was not obligated to. But oh, I am so thankful that He did. How about it today? Aren't you thankful that God called your name? Aren't you thankful that God reached for you? Aren't you thankful that His presence is looking to your life to bless and to fill you and to give you strength and peace today? God says in His word, He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We don't always understand the Lord. We don't always know why God selects us, but I'm so glad that He did. In this widow woman, we see a willingness to obey the word of the prophet. She had a decision to make. You see, she only had enough oil and enough flour to make just one cake. Here's this stranger who comes at the gate of the city, and he tells her to take her very last, all that she had, and to give it away. But there was a promise that went with that command that if she did, her supply would not run out. I want to tell you, we all come to this place. Somewhere in life, we all have to make this decision. Do we hold on to the little that we have, preserving it for our intentions? Do we keep it for what we desire? Do we control it in our own wisdom? Or do we turn it loose and let God have control? Do we hold on to it tightly, or do we relinquish it to the Lord, trusting that He will provide? What a step of faith it is. And we all come to a place where we are faced with that decision, but we will miss out on the blessings of God if we choose to hold on rather than to release it to Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. The sower goes forth. He's bearing that precious seed. It's precious. It's seed that has been set aside, that seed could have fed his family. But he knows that if they were to eat it, then there would be no harvest for another year. And so he takes the precious seed and he casts it away. He's sowing by faith. There's seed that's there in his hand. It could feed his family today, but he knows if he doesn't cast it away, if he does not sow the seed, that he will not reap a harvest in the next year. What would have happened if that widow woman there in the city of Zarephath had not obeyed? Well, look what happened because she did obey. The Bible tells us that the flour, it kept on being replenished. And the oil, it never ran out. And she and her house and Elijah, they ate many meals during the famine. It was because of her faith. God had told Elijah, he said, I've commanded a widow woman there in Zarephath to sustain you. If she had not been willing to obey, If she had not been willing to live according to faith, then Elijah would have passed on by, and there would have been someone else who would have prepared a meal for him. And then what would have happened? Because later the woman's son fell sick and died, but she called to Elijah, and he took her son, and he stretched himself over him and cried unto the Lord. And 1 Kings 17:22 says, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." That miracle, that answer from God, would not have happened if she had not been willing to answer God's call in the beginning. I tell you, when God begins to look for someone that he can use and he can work through, when God looks for obedience, it's not always for our current blessing. It's not always for what is going to happen to us today, but sometimes it's for something that's going to come in the days ahead. It's something that only God knows. And when the Lord calls and we think, who me? Who me? Are you talking to me? And God says, yes, you, because you have a willing heart. And looking ahead in your future, I'm going to do a great miracle in your life. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you've been so perfect. But I know you have a willing heart. Hallelujah. I can't help but think of another woman today with a willing heart. Oh, Mary was just a virgin. She was just a young lady, and Garrett engaged to marry Joseph. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her and he told her, he said, "Mary, you have found favor with God, and you're going to conceive as the Holy Ghost overshadows you, and you shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Imagine with me Mary's first thought at all of this that the angel said as he calls her name and says, "Mary, fear not." And she's thinking, "Who me? Who me? I'm just a girl still. And surely there are others who are qualified." But still the Bible records her response. She says, in spite of all of that, in spite of the question, she said, "Oh, be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't understand how everything was going to come about. And no doubt it was quite overwhelming to her. It was a lot for a young lady to handle. But she was willing, even though it probably caused many to despise her because they did not understand how the Holy Ghost had overshadowed her. But she became the mother to our Lord. And she was willing. Surely there were other widows in need during the famine. But God sent Elijah to a special one with a willing heart. Surely there were other young ladies who could have been chosen, but Gabriel went to one with a willing heart. And it goes on and on throughout Scripture. How many Israelites could have been a better leader than Moses? And when God called out of the burning bush, Moses was at, he was at a very low point in life. And I'm sure he at first looked around and said, who, me? And God said, yes, of course you. You see anybody else out here in the wilderness? But God was looking for someone who would be a perfect match for what he needed. And a man called Moses who was he had meekness, and he was going to be able to talk face to face with God, and he would lead God's people out of Egypt. Oh, I want to tell you, surely there were other lepers besides Naaman, but God reached to one with a willing heart who would put pride aside, and he'd go jump 7 times in the dirty Jordan River, and he would receive his healing. Oh, that's what God was looking for. And surely there were other mothers who did not have a child, but there was one named Hannah who had a willing heart. Oh, and looking forward to the New Testament, surely there were other tax collectors. But Jesus chose the one who happened to be a little shorter than the rest of them. He'd been overlooked all of his life, but Jesus stopped there at the tree that Zacchaeus was in, and he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down from there." And Zacchaeus was saying, "Who, me? Who, me? Are you talking to me?" "Yeah, you, Zacchaeus. Do you see anybody else up in that tree with you?" "Zacchaeus, I'm talking to you." "Oh, and what of Saul of Tarsus? Think of him being blinded by a vision of the Lord on his way to Damascus and hearing his name called by the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" There was little doubt of who the Lord was talking to, and so Saul really couldn't pass it off. But I'm sure he's thinking, "Who, me? Are you talking to me?" But Saul had a willing heart, and he became the great apostle Paul. And look what God was able to do in his life. I feel today that the Lord is calling some people who are watching this. And your first instinct is to respond and say, "Who, me?" Because there's more who are qualified. There's others who are more talented. There's others who may be a better fit than we are. But God looks beyond the things that we see in the natural. And there's something about you. There's something about your life. There's something in God's plan that is missing without you in it. There's a job for you to do. And he's just looking for someone with a willing heart that will answer his call today. Oh, maybe this is not going to connect with every single person, but oh, if there'd just be one or two, or maybe three or four, you would answer the call of God today, and you would realize that there's more for you. There's a greater purpose for your life. There's a calling of God upon you, and it's time that you answer. It's time that you be willing to do what God wants to do in your life. It's time for you to answer with a willing heart. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the Springfield, Missouri area. There are many, many who are hurting. There's many who wish they had the presence of God in their life. There are many who are seeking him. Don't you dare take it for granted that God is calling you today. That is a great blessing. And you need to answer the call of the Lord today while he is reaching for you. In closing, have you ever been in a crowd of people? Not lately. But maybe across the way, you see somebody waving at someone. There's always that hesitancy. You know who they're waving at? Are they waving at me? Or is it somebody else? And sometimes we just kind of ignore them because surely they're waving at somebody else. I don't want to wave back and get embarrassed when they're really talking to somebody else. It's kind of like the man who had that happen. And then he waved back, and he was going to tell the people he was with, he was going to say, "Hey, somebody knows me." But in the middle of that, he recognized that they were waving at somebody else. And so he said, hey, somebody knows somebody around here. Today, I want to tell you, there is a calling of God's Spirit. His voice is speaking, and his touch is reaching. And sometimes, because we don't think we're anything special, our response is like, Who's he talking to? Surely it's not me. Surely there's somebody else that God is reaching for. But we need to move beyond that timid response today. And we need to answer the call of God. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Speak to me. Help me, Jesus. Touch my life. Do the work in me. I hear your call, oh, Lord. Oh, let me tell you what. This is the deal of a lifetime. This is the blessing of a lifetime in that God is calling to you today. He's not looking for someone who is perfect. He's not searching for someone who has never made a mistake. Not for someone who has all the talents that you think you don't have. Oh no, God is just looking for someone with a willing heart who will say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll answer your call. call today, oh, have your way in my life. Is there a willing heart today? Is there someone that you would put aside your fears and all the reasons why God can't use you, all of your limitations and shortcomings, and would you just answer, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I am willing, Lord. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will answer your call today. I wonder if we could all find a place to pray right now, wherever you are. And I wonder if you can answer the Lord, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, however you want to work, whatever it is, God, I'm yours. My life is not my own, Lord, but I give it to you. Have your way in me. Oh, I challenge you right now. Pray that prayer to the Lord. Let God reach for you and answer the call of God today. And just wait and see the great things God will do if you will have a willing heart. Can we find a place? Can we pray today? Can we answer the call of God and see what He is going to do? Praise the Lord. God bless you today.